Jesus, Peter, Paul, there's been a lot preached on those people. There's been a lot of books written about Jesus and about Peter and about Paul. There's been a lot of books written about Abraham, about Moses. When you look in Matthew chapter 3, start at verse number 1, you find John the Baptist. I can't remember a lot of sermon preached on John. I can't remember a lot of books being written on John the Baptist. There probably have been some. But when you look in the pages of the scriptures, there's a lot to be said about John. Just for a little while, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 3. We're going to look at John the Baptist. There are some things about John that's pretty interesting. I can remember some many, many years ago. I think I was just a teenager. I was part of this denomination of church, and I remember this little old man. If I remember right, his name was John Red Johnson. Red was his middle name, John Red Johnson. He stood up barely trembling. He said that John the Baptist was a member of the Baptist Church. I wasn't a member of the Lord's Church. I had very little knowledge about the scriptures at that time, but that didn't sound right to me. As we look into the scriptures, we realize and we understand that first of all, the Baptist Church didn't even exist at that time. As we look at the scriptures, I've learned to understand that he was definitely wrong about that. When you look into the scriptures, you see pertaining to John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, that John's mother, his father, his father was Zacharias, his mother was Elizabeth. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 13. And John chapter 1, verse 6 said that he was sent from God. You begin to look at the type of person that John was. You see that there it says that his appearance, you look at his appearance, it was very plain. John was flashy. Bible talks of John as, you know, as a person who seemed to be very simple, the way he dressed. I tend to believe that John wasn't wealthy, he wasn't rich. The Bible speaks of John as having honey and wild locusts as his food. But as you look more into the scriptures, you see the Bible talks about John as one that was busy preaching and teaching and baptizing and doing that which God has sent him to do. But in Matthew chapter 3, there's a couple of things that stands out about John that I believe that we can learn from. In Matthew chapter 3, start at verse number 1, read down to verse number 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" First thing there that I've learned from this couple of passages here is that is John's message. That John's message, that John had a message of repentance, a message of change. John came to the people. He was sent from God. He goes to the people. He's teaching a message of change, that they were to repent. This wasn't some message that John made up or created himself. John went forth, as Isaiah had prophesied, that he would be the one crying in the wilderness. That John goes forth to prepare the way for Christ. But as John did so, John's message to the people, the message of change, a message of repentance. Look at Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Starting at verse number 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching and baptizing, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John's message to the people were the change. Turn away from the way they've been living, confess their sins, and to be baptized. The message of John. And we know that the very importance of repentance and the life of those who desire to be a Christian, and also in the life of those who are Christian. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 13, verse number 3, the importance of repentance. "Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." And then a few verses down in Luke chapter 13, verse number 5, Jesus taught the same thing. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, what did Peter preach? Peter preached on that day to those who heard his message, who heard the word of God. They were to repent and be baptized for the remission, or rather for the forgiveness of their sins. Then Acts chapter 8, verse 22. Acts chapter 7, when Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in Athens. So verse 29, going through about verse 31. Verse 30, Paul taught what? The importance of repentance. Changing one attitude, one heart, one mind from that which is wrong to doing that which is right. That was John's message. All the people gathered there around the Jordan River. John's message. John didn't just show up there and pat them on the back and say, "Everything is okay." John was there preparing the way of going forth for the coming of the king who had been born in Bethlehem, for the coming of the kingdom. John went forth preaching and teaching repentance. John's message. When you look at Ezekiel chapter 14, verse number 6, where the word to God's people were, they were to repent. Then he goes on and tell them that they were to turn away from their idols. And at the very end of that verse, Ezekiel chapter 14, verse number 6, not only were they to turn away from the idol, but all of those things which they had been involved in, which was abomination. Not where they were just supposed to repent from some of their sins, or the one that they desired to repent from, but all of them, for they all were the abomination before God. As John goes forth to prepare the way for Christ, John's message was that of repentance. John taught the message, repentance, because the kingdom was near at hand. It was approaching. Which kingdom? The kingdom in which, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and following, that Daniel prophesied and talked about a glorious kingdom that would come, that would never, never have an ending. Eternal kingdom. And John went forth preparing the way for the king who would establish a kingdom. John's message . If you turn back to Matthew chapter 3, we'll pick up at verse number 4. Now John himself, was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all of Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. 4-6, what's the second thing we can learn here about John? John the Baptizer. Well, what I see is John's influence. John's influence. That John's simple, but the powerful message drew people to him. John's influence. People came out to hear what John had to say. I tend to believe not only did John preach the truth, John lived the truth. And people are more apt to listen and hear what we have to say if we're doing our very best to live a right life. John's influence says that Jerusalem, all of Judea, went out to him to hear what he has to say. Not only did they hear what John had to say, they was obedient to God's word. They were baptized, confessing their sins in the Jordan River. John's influence. John's message, not John's influence. And Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark says basically the same thing that Matthew says. It says in verse number 5, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John had some type of influence upon the people. They took the time to go out and hear what John had to say, and they were obedient to God's word. John's influence. So what can we learn? Well, that can be a lesson for you and I, that our influence, our example is very important. That we try to teach people, those who we work with, those who we attend school with, those who know us, that we can have a more better influence as we do our very best to be a better example. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. All of a sudden, for some reason, my allergies begin to act up and I'm catching a serious cold, but we'll finish this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said, and so in verse number 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Paul encouraged and teaches these people on a certain way you have to live a quiet life and mind their own business. And they're to work with their own hands. Good example. Then he goes on to say, so that you may walk properly towards those who are on the outside. They are to be a proper example. It's going to have a good influence. As we look at John set a good example. John had a great influence upon the people. They came out to John to hear him, and they were obedient. We can have a great influence as we follow 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, and try to abstain from every form of evil. And 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12, Paul tells Timothy to be of a good example. We too can do the same thing, and we can have a good influence upon people. We can set a good example. You know, we can be a good influence. We can set the right example. We can teach the right thing, have the right doctrine. If the people don't obey the gospel, we've done all we can do. Move on. Had no one listened or obeyed what John said, had he done the right thing? Yes. But as it may be, John had influence upon the people. Going back to Matthew chapter 3. Going back to Matthew chapter 3. Picking up at verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Here's the third and last thing that we see here about John is that the courage of John. The courage of John. Here's your religious leaders of the time, Pharisees and the Sadducees. If you could say, I guess you could say, here's your big shot religious people of that time. John sees them. John doesn't say, or does he think, "Well, I don't want to offend these people. You okay? I'm okay. We all right. I better watch what I'm saying now. I better change my message here. I cannot continue to teach and preach repentance and confessing their sin and being baptized. I better change the message. Look who's here now. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're big wheels. Better watch what I say." Instead, what we see here is a man of courage, a man of bravery, a man of held his grounds. He said unto them, "You brood of vipers," or rather, "You snakes." Whoa, John. Do you know who you're talking to? These are your spiritual leaders of that time. John, you're just a simple old preacher, dressed with camel hair wrapped around you, eating locusts and honey. These guys are usually well-dressed, well-spoken. They are somewhat respected in the neighborhood. Watch it, John. John, say, "You snakes. Brood of vipers." Says, "Flee from the wrath to come." He warns them of the wrath to come. Not only that, he goes on another step. John says, out of courage and taking a stand, John says, "Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance." Wait a minute. John the Baptist. Simple, common, I guess you say simple, common country preacher, you could say. He tell these guys that they need to repent. Not only do they need to repent, they need to bear fruits worthy of repentance. John, you gone too far? No, he hasn't. What I see here is a man of courage. He had the courage to stick with the script. He had the courage to go ahead and preach the truth. Not the first time we read in the scripture where John had some problems. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We'll start at verse number 1. Matthew chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him." For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Matthew began to talk about what had happened to John in the past. Picks him up at verse number 5. Although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." And we know the rest of the story, don't we? But the point here is that John could have kept his mouth shut. Instead, John, standing before Herod, John says, "It's not lawful, it's not right for you to have this woman." John spoke up. History goes on to say that it's possible that the woman that he had was a relative, his niece, maybe. If that being possible, then he's violating the Jewish law, Leviticus chapter 18. History goes on to say somewhat that she had left her husband and got with him. And he had left his wife and got with her. A moral relationship. But John had the courage to tell a leader that, "Look here, it's not right for you to have this woman." Question: what would you and I have done? We've kept our mouths shut and moved on. The courage of John. John displays the same type of courage when he meets the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, "You snakes, you need to repent. Not only do you need to repent, you need to bear fruits worthy of repentance. For the axe is laid to the tree." Paints a picture of a tree that's unfruitful, and a tree that's unfruitful is chopped down and thrown into fire. And that was the destiny of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, not only them, but everyone who refused to follow that message. But John had the courage. To speak up. In Revelation 21:8, in a list of things there that can cause one to go to hell and be in a lake of fire, being a coward. We always stop and admit there's been times when we should have spoke up about some things, spiritual, when we should have stood up and said, "You know what, this is wrong." Still, we kept our mouths shut. Learning from John, learning from the scriptures, learning that John was a man of courage. Matthew, in Psalms 27, verse number 14, talks about waiting on the Lord and being of good courage. In Joshua chapter 1, when God talks to Joshua. I've always liked that because God talked with Joshua. Oh, how amazing. When he talked with Joshua, he told Joshua to be of good courage, to be courageous, nor turn to the right, nor to the left. Go straight on. And that's what we found with John. John was a man of courage. In Acts chapter 24, you find Paul before Felix, the governor, a man of status, you could say. Paul displayed in Acts chapter 24, I think it's in verse 24 through around about 26, Paul displayed courage. Instead of Paul saying everything is okay, Paul preached unto Felix about righteousness, about temperance, and about the judgment to come. That's the kind of courage you and I can need to have, and that's the kind of courage we see that John had. John the Baptizer. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 10, we see that John's message of change. We see, secondly, John's influence. That John set the proper example. He had influence upon the people. They came out, they heard him, they obeyed God's word. Thirdly and last, it's John's courage. John went on and spoke the things that he knew he had to teach that was right, regardless of who was in the midst of it. One preacher told me some years ago that he knew a different congregation that he would go and preach for, that he knew what not to preach on if he was going to continue to be invited there. So the message in which he should have preached, he didn't preach so that he would be able to come back again, again, again. Don't find much courage in that. One of my teachers many years ago that was teaching me how to deliver a message, he told me, he said, you know what? You wouldn't want to preach this message in Mississippi. I said, what do you mean? I was preaching on Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, of his power of salvation for all. I focus on the very last point that is for all, for blacks and for whites, and everyone says, oh, you don't want to preach that in Mississippi. Like, why? Don't want to cause any problem. So be it. Thank God that now I have the courage that I can preach that now. Don't bother me one bit, because I know I'm preaching and teaching of which is right. Man, it is encouraging to me to look at John, look at his life, how he stood up and taught the things that were right regardless of the consequences. May you and I never compromise and do the same. John the Baptizer, his message, his influence, and his courage led him to be one that was pleasing unto God. As we close, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3. And Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, there he warns them of the craftiness and cunningness and deceptiveness of Satan. And you and I should also be aware of that, because he's cunning, he's crafty. He wants to cause you and I to stumble, to sin, to fall away. This evening, as a Christian, you may have given in to him. Maybe he's at He's caused you to be to stumble, caused you to sin. If you have, please repent. You may be here this evening and you request the prayers of the church. Please do so as we sing the invitation song.